The NHL season may be over, but we aren't far from it on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet Plus. Jake the Snake Schultz, Derek Brandeo, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We continue to produce the fastest hour in hockey.
You're running out of them, Kip. We're
I got nothing else to say for the rest of the hour.
2 weeks, that's it? That's all you got?
I did listen to you guys on my way home from my wedding in New Jersey yesterday.
How was it? Chaotic?
Yeah, it was the real bunkus show, and you guys got to talk a little bit, I think, in the show, right?
Which was great.
Did you feel fortunate?
It was lovely.
To be able to sneak in a word or two on your own show?
You know how it is. We like our people with opinions, and he's got them.
Oh, yeah. He certainly does. He certainly does. But no, it was good listening. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good.
Mid.
Good.
Mid. It was a mid show.
We'll take it. I'm not mad at that.
It was a mid show.
How was the drive to, you're in New York, right?
Easy, yeah. Real easy.
Smooth.
You know, I know some people may have had some issues maybe getting over the border on occasions, yeah. but there's no signs of it for us.
Those people aren't Nick Kiprios.
Okay, that's a valid point.
They have like an overpass for Kip.
The Kiprios Bridge.
Smooth sailing, good. For good sure.
Well, but welcome back.
Yeah, lots of talk, obviously, as the partying continues in Florida and what you guys liked and what maybe others aren't liking so much.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are I'm glad there were no cameras in 1994.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah. I get all of it. I do.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
Yes.
Championship.
Yeah.
that's all you need to say, right there.
No. Testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of beating, you know, your chest.
Yeah.
With social media. I get all of it. But it's not really for me. Right?
But it was for you, right? Like when you were their age, do you feel like?
Yeah. But you know what? Where they're completely similar, and you know whether it's 1994 or 2025 is that, you know, there's a camera, there's a microphone.
Yeah.
You know that you're live. You know that you're going out to the public. How do I phrase this? The lack of respect for your opponents was never in the equation for us, and now. I don't know if the guys continue to get egged on and there's, you know, Bunkus and maybe Sammy. And if, I don't know where you really stand on it. But
I didn't love the stuff about the Oilers.
Some people think it's great for the game.
Yeah.
That it's good and it draws more animosity and it's great. I just don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm. I get the idea, like Bunk was saying yesterday, that it does create genuine dislike, like none of this fabricated, whatever. If you're the Oilers, it's like,
but the game does that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you feel like he didn't need the extra thing. The only thing that really bothered me was like the losers logo from Marchand. I didn't think that, you know. But I know you had no problem.
They're drunken guys who just beat the same team twice in the final. They clearly hated each other. All we ever heard during the thing was like, oh, it's the meanest series ever. These guys are mean to each other. Yeah. They hate each other. They hate each other, and they beat him for 2 years in a row. They don't care.
I'm also a huge Sam Bennett fan.
Mm-hmm.
Did he need to go on the microphone and just say, we get to do whatever we want, whenever we want,
however
we want?
That's a tough look for Gary.
Right?
It's a tough look for Gary.
I don't know whether or not, you know, in today's world, that's a really good message to send out that, you know, we can do whatever we want.
Right.
I know one thing they cannot do.
Kipper, what is that? Is that Panama Raka? What is that?
I don't know. It's a football in here, I think.
All I can hear is...
I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you one thing that Sam Bennett's wrong that they cannot do under no circumstances.
Get more fans?
No. Take the Stanley Cup into the ocean.
What do you mean? They can't?
No.
Why?
Because they're not allowed to.
Did they try?
They did it last year.
Yeah.
And that was a this year forbidden no-no.
Does salt corrode silver?
You have no idea.
Oh, really?
And they were already somewhat in trouble because they dropped the cup and broke it a little bit already, and they had to send somebody down there to fix it.
Yeah.
So, but Salt
tighten
water.
It up, boys.
I love all this.
Salt water. Salt water.
Yeah.
And the Stanley Cup were never to meet.
Yeah,
this
year. That makes a lot of sense. I don't know what that chemical reaction is.
Outside of that, Sam's Bennett's pretty close in terms of, you know, the beating your opponent up and to tapping goalies and all of that. He's pretty much bang on that.
I think this is very much the Rorschach test. Ian, people see what they see in this. Ian, like it,
it'll
not like
down.
It, whatever.
And it'll eventually calm down.
I haven't seen much from them since the parade. Maybe they've gone their separate ways.
Well, he's worn out.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to take a knee and have brunch.
But there was I thought it had kind of settled down, and then I saw a clip. Marchand back at the elbow room ordering pizzas. I was like, these guys are back there? So you never know, but now they've probably gone home to their families, I would imagine.
Starting to sound like Florida's doing everything they can to keep everybody right now.
But you know, at 3 a.m., arm around each other, Marchand and those guys, we're coming back.
We're never leaving.
100% that conversation happened, including Marchand.
And then Marchand's agent's like, Brad?
Yeah, hello, Bradley.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, let me do a blood alcohol test here, and then let's talk.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. As my latest edition of my trade board 2.0 is out, going into the draft, going into free agency. We got a few names out there, guys.
This is the all-star team.
Where do you want to start? There's a lot of demand out there as I think teams try to figure out their salary caps and how much room they have, how much they don't, what they're willing to move off of. Lots of talk. The catchphrase now is we're not necessarily shopping names, but we are listening, right? So
what's the difference? That's semantics, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. One probably gets you in a little bit more trouble than others.
Right.
But it is what it is. I got my list out. Where do you guys want to start?
Top seems like a good spot.
First name would help.
Yeah. So let's start by seeking clarity. Mitch Marner's name is the top of your list. It is a trade board. It is not a sign board.
Yes.
Is he at the top of the list because of the trades he will inspire or because he himself will get traded before July 1st?
There's the bottom scope of people saying that he's willing to sign a 2-year deal to a max deal, which would have to include a sign and trade, which would be the 8 years.
Right.
So we do know that there's a lot of teams interested. The serious ones probably have been established already. What we believe could be Carolina, Vegas, Los Angeles as three definitively what we believe. And then on the outside could be a team like the Dallas Stars. So I know there's a lot about certain guys, including McDavid, and we can happily have that conversation too a little later on in terms of how short of a deal that they'd potentially want. But in Marner's particular case, I don't see a world where he signs a 2-year deal, which many are talking
Two's
about
great.
Like this.
But three or four makes total sense. I've been on this for years with you guys saying that the Stars should all be doing that.
Yeah.
And the only ones that ever did it were the Leafs guys.
I mean, so far it's only Matthews.
Yeah. And Marner did it. He was less than 8 when he first signed. He was six.
But so, it just makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
You're financially secure. You got the chance to hit home runs. And if you don't like your situation, chance at flexibility.
Yeah.
And
And if there's a chance that he just wants to do this once and he pictures a place where he could be with his family for the next 8 years.
The new family thing helps that.
The new family. Does he want to uproot? Does he want to go through the whole thing over again anywhere between 2 and 4 years and pick up the family? And he just went through a scenario of playing out his option. I can't believe for one second it was an easy situation to go through all year. I could easily see him saying, I don't want that again.
Yeah.
In what, 36 months, right? No, thank you. So if that's the case and he wants to go max, which is 7 now, then I think it makes a lot of sense for teams to go back to the Leafs and say, okay, what can we do? We want the 8th year. We want to bring our AAV down. What can we do? So that's the situation with Marner that I could see easily happening.
And if you're a team who is going to spend to land Marner in free agency, you want it to be 8 years. Like, he's 27, is he? Is that right?
28? Yes.
You know, like, you want all the years you can get. You know, I'll just ask you what I'm thinking of when we say this. The Vegas Golden Knights have to move money to make room. Petrangelo's LTIR.
Yes.
Could the Leafs say, you don't like that William Karlsson contract anymore? He's making 5.9.
I have William Karlsson on the board. Timo Meier's another name that's being thrown out there as well.
Really?
He's a little higher at 6.75.
Really?
But, you know, a lot of these guys that I have on the list, they're in that 5 million kind of range, which is 3 to 5, 3 to 6, 6.5. And they are easy contracts to move. Mm-hmm. So in saying that, they're definitely committed to Jack Eichel. But outside of that, if they could move one of those centermen in Karlsson or Timo.
Did you mean from Vegas? Did you mean Hurdle?
Oh, sorry, Hurdle. Yeah, okay. Jersey.
Hurdle
makes
Timo's in New Jersey. Yeah. Hurdle.
Hurdle makes 6.75.
Hurdle
2030.
So Hurdle or Karlsson, if they can move that type of money out, then it kind of opens it up for Mitch Marner, and there's going to be another move as well.
So further from them.
Yeah, Petrangelo, guys, he ain't coming back for a very long time. And there's serious concerns about his future and even potentially playing again.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any insight? I can't remember what it was that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I can speculate. Yeah. I can speculate. But there's some that are telling me that there's a hip issue. Mm. And we've seen so many others in situations where it's shut them down completely. And then there's other ones where they're hanging on. Pat Kane is a good example of that.
Yeah.
I don't know where Petrangelo would be if we are talking about a similar type of injury.
So I wrote an article for Sportsnet, I don't know, a week or two ago, where I said that the Leafs would have to get creative in the offseason because you look at the list of UFAs out there and the solution is not there for them. There is no answer. This, what you're talking about, Karlsson, but much more Tomas Hertl is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Hertl is 6'3", 220. Yeah. He scored 33 times last year. He's going to make under $7 million. He's 31. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, he's a little older, but he just had a good year. He's big. He's good.
The Leafs' primary focus right now is a top winger and a number two centerman.
If they get Hertl, that Tavares thing changes.
That doesn't include Tavares.
Right.
They're looking for a number two centerman, which means that they're not slotting Tavares in next year at number two. So what does that mean?
Which is, in all of our opinions, I think, the right decision to be making.
You're not winning a cup with Tavares as your 2C.
Correct.
Now, that's not to say that there isn't a place for Tavares
for
moving
sure.
forward if you want him.
But there's not at the dollars he apparently wants. There's a place for him on the team for sure.
That's the dilemma.
For sure, there's a place, you know, if he's your 3C, love what you get out of him, right? You would love it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to pay your 3C $6 million.
So allow me to ask the stupid question here. The Marner Hurdle / Karlsson thing, is that all part of the same thing? Would that be like a sign and trade thing?
If you're Brad Treliving, you're certainly trying that.
Okay.
There's such a shortage of centermen out there, guys.
Yeah.
That's why people think that there's a $10 million offer for Sam Bennett out there if he wants to leave Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how high in demand these guys are. And, you know, to the agents of John Tavares, Pat Brisson, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
He knows that there might be six out there for him or seven at 38 goals.
Sure.
And really not much of a difference between him and Stamkos, outside of whatever you perceive as being successful,
right,
is that there might be a market out there that isn't reflective of how Tampa felt about Stamkos or how Toronto feels about Tavares. But it's out there.
Yeah.
Does he want to go? How badly does he want to stay?
So if I'm Kelly McCrimmon, I don't think – I mean, if he wants to sign there anyway, Marner wants to sign in Vegas – what leverage does Brad Treliving have trying to get one of their two centers out of there in a, I guess it's just a salary cap?
Vegas
it's
has
just
to move cap. Money. That helps.
Yeah.
But there's not another team that's going to give you.
No, they're too good, and there's too much value in them. So
some other team would give you something
first
for
rounders.
Yes.
So it's plus,
top
right?
prospects.
Yeah.
And this is where, unfortunately, the Leafs are in a little bit of a pickle here, is that they don't have any first-rounders in the next, 3 years?
Not many prospects either, Kevin.
Not many prospects. And what else can I give you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And others can.
Yeah.
So it's a tough spot.
Well, that's the spot they're working from this offseason. It is going to be a challenge, but they're going to have to find creative ways like this. That would be a gift to them. If, in fact, Marner was like, yeah, I want to do an 8-year deal in Vegas, which I get. Vegas, apparently, my dad lived there for years coaching and loved it. It's a good place to be.
So you mentioned top wingers. One of the top wingers in the market. Been a lot of smoke from you about the Brad Marchand situation here.
Listen, a lot of smoke, but not a blazing fire like Biz Nasty.
Biz.
He says it's done.
He says it's done. 4 years, $9 million per year. He said that today.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, to the Leafs?
I didn't go that far.
He said it was done. He said, Biz Nasty said it was done.
Agreed upon.
Oh, what?
Yes.
No.
So, and I said it last week, and the feeling was last week that no one was willing to go that high. I'm starting to hear that there's teams now that are totally jumping on board with this guy, and that the teams are will be surprised if in fact he leaves and where this thing goes.
If the Leafs media market is in fact a disincentive for players to play here, I can coach them on how to make it easier. Don't sign for more than you're worth. Don't sign for way more than you're worth. Sign for a good contract. That's fine. People could probably live with that. You just can't make more than you're worth here, or it's tough.
Sign me up. I don't care.
Yeah.
Sign me up, baby.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Yeah. So everyone would say it's 8. It's eight's fine, but 9's not.
Well, you just have no line. 9's fine. Is 10 okay? Where do you stop?
Well, I mean, were you okay with 8?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's like whatever. Like you're gonna not get him over a mil for
yes.
year, and a, with a cap,
absolutely
with
yes.
a cap flying up. Like
yes,
that is
too much money.
Of course, ultimate, 8's too much money.
It's the ultimate dilemma.
Sign the damn contract, Brad. Ink it.
And there's, name me another team that could use him more than the Leafs.
Florida, probably.
No. Florida can still compete and maybe win without him.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a good fit. It's a good fit. It's a great fit.
The perfect fit.
Not for $9 mil, it ain't.
Wow.
Not for $9 mil times 4.
I mean, I don't
37
know.
Currently?
Hey. So two years and then 2 with a bad back.
Yeah, okay. Now we're talking.
Okay. we you know where it's going.
Yeah. Same where, same
5
place
years.
Tan, same place
Tan of his equipment.
5 years. Yeah.
Same place
6 Tan years.
Of his headed.
Same place that they're all headed.
By the way,
there.
I don't mean to be dismissive of Marian Hossa's skin condition that made it hard or whatever. But it is just the funniest phrasing of a reason why a guy could no longer earn his money.
Allergic to
your equipment.
Yeah,
it sounds funny. I understand it's a real thing.
So I can tell you that though there's a strong push now for Florida to try to get all 3 of them back right now.
To me, they should be prioritizing Ekblad over Marchand. Ekblad is a lot of their identity. It's the nasty guy who can skate and pass and play.
I don't
and
think
scare
Ekblad's going to be that hard, and I think he may even take a pay cut to stay.
Of course he will.
A cut?
Why wouldn't he?
Golly.
A cut.
I mean, it's not a cut.
Money's
though.
Not an issue with this guy.
But it's not a cut.
But it is a cut.
I mean, it is. But is it? Like, it's, I mean, oh, he's going to take $8 million there, which is how much everywhere else? Like, it's not a cut. It's what these guys do there.
Six.
Oh, yeah,
six and a half.
He didn't make much last year.
No, he made 7.5.
7.5, yeah.
So he's going to take.
For number one overall pick.
I think he might be in a position to take 6 or 6.5. I think that's the push is you want to go and try to win a third cup now and be a part of something very historic.
Yeah, and you
or
get to wear the same logo and compete.
Or do you need another $5 million at the end of your career, or $6 million at the end of your career. So yeah. that's where they're at. And I think that's what they're pushing on Brad too, as well.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, could you take, I don't know what the number is, to be honest with you, 5 or 6, which would be 7.5, 8 in a lot of other places. I don't know. I don't know, but
Brad,
that's,
Brad hasn't got his money. He's always been underpaid.
He's going to get his $9 million in Toronto.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Rent in Yorkville for $8,000 a month.
If it's still the most important thing to him, or has anything changed in the past week about...
He hasn't had a coherent thought since the game ended.
Correct. So, he has been bamboozled since that ended.
But this strategy has already been discussed between him and his agent and his family countless times before they won the cup, you know, before the trade deadline, after the trade deadline.
For sure.
It's
But things change. Things change.
Emotionally, things can change,
and
for sure.
Winning a cup is a pretty big emotional swing.
Yes. With the guys that you're now
brothers
feeling
alive,
like.
Man.
Family. I love you. No, I love you more. No, I love you more.
I'll do it for $4 million.
All right.
Well, that was the first name on the list that got it.
On to number two.
Jason Robertson.
There's
Nick for Jason.
Two guys. Now, there's two categories, thanks to Florida, really, the last few years, are the guys that you pay to get you in the playoffs and the guys who can help you win in the playoffs. Where is Dallas with Jason Robertson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like his stats dictate that he should be paid X, and he's a great example of, you know what I said the other day on our show was that we don't really pay guys commensurate with how much the team values them. Like, this guy's a winner. He gets you through. Like, I don't think the team values him as much as his stats.
So he is going into his last year of his deal at 7.5. He's eligible to sign a new contract July 1st.
I bet they'd pay him 7.5.
The ask could be between 11 and 12 million.
That's what I mean.
AAV.
I'm sure they'd be happy to keep paying him that.
You think that they pay him 12 million?
No. I'm saying that what he's currently making.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I bet they.
But okay, so tell me if you're Jim Nill now, and he's asking for a 7 or 8 year deal at 11.5. Where are you on Jason Robertson?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, he's obviously he scored 50 in the league, and he's
no twice 40.
Twice 40 is out. Sorry, he's 25 years old. He's
he's a talent.
6'3", 200. Tough to come by. Caps going up. 10.5, we have no taxes.
So I've got him and Martin Nakash in the same category, right? Where they're point-of-game players. They're ultra-talented.
Yeah.
Guys that can help
you. I'll take Robertson over Natchez for sure.
Agree.
Can get you in the playoffs all day long, but can they get you through
to
a Stanley Cup final?
Can I tell you my Toronto Maple Leafs concern these days? I think they're going to be under-talented. Like, I thought they had a talent deficit with Florida in that series. I think losing Marner is a massive blow to the talent level. And there's this big push to get more like Florida, heavier, more Carlo, more McCabe, more Tanev. You know, what about hockey? Who's going to go make the plays? Like in games where you need one, you got to start looking for a couple guys who can get you one.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about the talent level of the team in the absence of Marner. So some of these names appeal. You got guys that are question marks, Natchez, Robertson, Elias Pettersson. You don't know what you're going to get some nights. Boy, you need talent. Got to have talent.
And it's short around the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like the players that you're talking about.
32 teams, it's getting harder to find them.
Very much so.
I mean, this conversation's quite funny.
Given Marner
leaving? Yeah.
He's got to go.
Who's that story?
No, I just like,
I said he's got to go.
Yeah, it's just like the Marner conversation. It's like, yes. Boy, if they could ever find
a
100-point Selke-level winger who's really good in all situations. God, if they could ever find a guy like that.
But there's homegrown. But there's certain markets that like are so emotional based on lack of playoffs. It's like, get rid of him. Get rid of him. And it's like, hold on for a second. Who's going to replace these players once you move their talents out? And I include Robertson, right?
It's funny because there's people saying, well, he wasn't that great when they, you know, in the big moments. However, you're in the big moments every year.
Yeah.
You get the chance to fail.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, like I am concerned about getting back to the level where you have the chance to be tested.
They're definitely going to be different, at least. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So another for our Vancouver audience, Pettersson, Kip.
Yeah. Yeah. There has to be an offer there that they are so comfortable with, and they need a top centerman back.
Isn't Marner a lesson for them a little bit, like where they didn't move him before his no trade kicked in, and then we're going, ah, crap, now he holds all the cards? Like, they're kind of stuck.
Well, but they're stuck to what, though?
Yeah, forever.
Okay, but forever might be good if he becomes a 100-point guy that he's supposed to be.
Oh, but forever's not right? That long.
He's, so, but if he's you're not happy...
You didn't get stuck with Marner. You ran out of years. He's leaving. You don't want him to leave. Like,
right,
they would
welcome.
You
lost control of the situation where at least now, if you think Pettersson's not going to become a 100-point guy,
if you think
he's a 75-point guy.
Wow. Then you know what?
Do you think Tockett was just flat wrong about him?
Well,
probably not.
How about the ownership in Jimmy Rutherford and the rest of them who gave him that contract? You were supposed to have made that decision already when you offered him the massive contract. Like, that ship sailed.
Some cost fallacy? What's the... Right? You know, if he's not good enough or doesn't want to do it...
But if it's one thing to say that, but then go make the trade that you think will make you better.
You just free up the money.
Right?
You free up the money.
Oh, gosh.
He has a no-move clause, but like...
July 1st.
July 1st?
Yes.
Yes. But I mean, I don't think... He doesn't strike me as the type of guy that would be devastated to have to leave Vancouver. Like, I think he's the type of guy you could sell on being traded.
I never saw him signing this.
Neither did
deal.
I was stunned when he did it.
People were telling me they felt like he got pressured into doing it. You know, and he was like, take the money at some point.
In retrospect, good job signing that contract, man, because maybe you weren't. But at the start of his career for the first few, like, he was undeniably worth that money. Like, he really, really was a great player for the first. So
what was last year? Was that he just didn't want to?
I do not know.
Yeah.
I do not know, and that would scare me to the...
I don't think he'd be that type of guy. Even if you went past July 1st with him, he doesn't strike me as the guy that says, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, if it continued to go down the path where he's not happy, the team's not happy, and the fan base is screaming, he strikes me as a guy that'll work with the organization to say, okay, just find me a spot here. I don't think they should trade him unless they feel like they're getting the right deal cover their ass if he turns around and becomes a 100-point guy again.
It's funny because, like, reading a lot of the reports these days, it's like there is a lot of buyers. A lot of teams want to take that step. Chicago's ready. San Jose wants to get better. Anaheim wants to get better. Toronto's trying to buy.
Columbus, I hear, is ready to blow their brains out.
Carolina, Dallas, Vegas. Are they really? I'm sure they are.
Yes.
Our boy Donnie, is he going to get a new jersey for us?
There's so many teams that are like, we want the talent we're talking about here.
Yeah.
They're sitting on Elias Pettersson. You're right. You would have to say, okay.
Yes.
Everyone gets tomorrow at noon. Email me your offer. We'll see if anyone wins. And if maybe no one does, but just send me an offer.
Yeah, I think these conversations are happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, just covering this league for a very long time, I don't know the availability. Let's just say there's 1,000 players in the league. Yeah. How many are available with the right combination? Like, is it 75% of the league, 80% of the league?
I would
85% of the
available.
League. Available for trade, right?
Yeah, you make the right offer, you can get almost anyone.
I can't ever recall hearing so many names where it's like, yeah, we'll move him if it's the right deal.
Well, Kip.
And other years it's been like, no, we're not, that guy's untouchable.
I mean, do you think we could put together a list of 100 untouchable players? I doubt it. I doubt we could. Like... You know,
100 seems like a lot right now.
I could get
now.
You a list of 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Get you a list of 10.
Other than that.
Yeah.
And I love that. See, this is why the flat cap has been so frustrating. Nothing could happen. It had to be, okay, salary retention, and he takes a pay cut, and they swap this. And now it's just like, you have some freedom to make some moves, and also you don't have to be under the cap until
it's,
season starts. So
the owner's got tremendous assurance of not overspending with a hard salary cap, but the players got a lot of freedom to work within this hard cap to get out from under situations easier and faster than we've ever seen before. And that's apparently was a big trade-off as well for the players, is that, you know, if you're not happy and you don't want to stay, there's ways of getting out early, really early. And we're seeing it with, you know, Marner at 27 now and a few others. And it's like, okay, all right. I mean, we can't see our contracts blow right up with the likes of the NBA or the NFL or, you know, all these guys making 40, 50, 60 million a year. But I get to pick a place where I can play when I'm 27 and early in my prime.
I think NHL contracts should be max term 5 years, like the NBA's. Like, I think people love this player movement stuff, and I understand as a player you don't like that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, why would I ever buy a jersey of a player?
Because I think people love this stuff as much, if not more. I think this...
Are Leaf fans loving this? Oilers?
You know, Kip, Oilers got six or seven. You make a really good point.
Oilers got six or seven. They're now having to deal with Connor McDavid being 12 months away. Mm-hmm. 12 months away from walking out for nothing. Tell me how much Oiler fans are enjoying this right now.
Right. And you know what, though? I think you've changed my mind with just that comment alone. Like, you should be able to think your guys or your...
Yes.
Team. That's a good point.
And I don't know. I don't know if it's really a good thing or not, all this movement, all this shuffling. And, you know, I mean, I Mitch Marner, if he was to sign a two-year deal at $30 million, like, and then potentially walk out in 24 months... He's just going to hear the same things that he heard the last few years. Toronto, oh, you're all about the money and you don't care about the team. Well,
But if you signed a two-year deal, that's what you would be caring about.
I don't see him doing that.
Neither do I.
That's all.
Neither do I.
Right.
But it's funny, you know, even saying that, that's what he would be caring about. It's like, you just skip around to teams that you think are going to win. Teams will pay you as
Kevin Durant. Yeah.
If Marchand holds out for the biggest offer, and if it's from the Leafs, I mean, but that's okay because he's a...
But this is what I'm saying.
Two-time Stanley Cup champion.
It hasn't happened yet. Well, that does change things, but I'm telling you, people won't like that. If it's way over what he was rumored to be getting, way more than he ever got, it won't be good.
And just back to Elias Pettersson before we go, feels like Carolina still.
I actually think that makes sense, yeah. Carolina's going to get someone, aren't they?
He's just the most Carolina Hurricane of all time.
I thought Logan Stankoven was.
Him too. Him too.
All right. Wait. I can't wait to talk about Morgan Riley on the other
side. Oh, okay. Anyways, we should do game time. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. It's 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So, the Toronto Blue Jays open up a 3-game set in Cleveland tonight, taking on the Guardians. I don't know if you guys are watching the game on Sunday afternoon. Bit of a tough loss. Still, Jeff Hoffman, not the best night for him. But the Toronto Blue Jays tonight, big faves in Cleveland. Minus 140 on the money line. The Cleveland Guardians plus 120 on the other side of things. I'm looking tonight for a Bo Bichette home run. He's been red hot of late, and I think he's leading the team now in home runs, if I'm not mistaken. Give me a Bo Bichette home run at plus 500 tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays against the Cleveland Guardians. And there is no other sports other than baseball. Lots of great action, lots of it on Sportsnet tonight. And of course, you can listen to the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's ever ordinary. Bet365 is 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Bet365, we love you. It's just going to be baseball stuff until the season's over. That's all we got for you.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Are we done?
They've been good partners, yes.
Yeah, awesome. We still got a ton of names, guys.
Also, some Hall of Fame induction stuff we should talk about.
Has it come out yet?
Yeah, Alex McGillney got in.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kipper, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. should have done game time on when we anticipate Connor McDavid signing, whatever the number of years.
July 1st, 2026 in Toronto would be my bet.
Are you of the belief that he's just going to sign with the Oilers any minute now?
No.
Not eligible to anyway.
No.
Until the first, yeah.
Yeah, no, that, I don't think you go down the path that he just went down with the uncertainty and then sign July 1st, even if it is for a year, 2 years, or the max eight. I don't see it. I think he knew what he was doing and saying the moment they lost the Stanley Cup final. And I see nothing but putting Oiler ownership and management on high alert that I'm holding you guys accountable from here on in.
You know, I'm going off here, and I think Stauffer, I think CJ, I think some people said 100% chance he's back. Like, their estimate.
It's fine. 100% chance. It's fine, yeah. But when? Mm-hmm. Like, when? When does that happen? Does that happen mid-July, beginning of July, August, September, December, March? What is it you need to see, Connor, out of us before you do make that commitment?
A goalie.
Okay, that's fine.
But I think clear communication on that would be good. You know, like, he probably doesn't want to see big names changing teams, though. The Oilers, I'm sure he's thinking, why can't we be Vegas? They chase every good player out there. Can we go get a good player? You know, like, I'm sure those are on his mind. It's great that they got two, but you're allowed more.
Is there a number of changes? Is there names out there that he'll like? What happens if you make a couple moves that he doesn't like, right?
I also think you cannot let any player be the GM.
You can't go full LeBron.
No, I don't think so for sure, but that's just an internal thing between him, maybe an agent, a family member. But does he need to see significant changes before he's ready to sign on the dotted line, or is it just one change? Like, what does that look like?
My money's on a 3-year deal. Doesn't that make sense?
When?
Three years.
Like, really?
When?
Like, soon. Like, I don't know, August. They add a player or two. He feels, or they get a goalie, and he goes, okay. Cup final 2 years in a row. We got a new goalie. Leon's here. We're obviously close. Let's just take another crack at it, but I'm not signing up for 8 more just yet.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And also, like, what the Sedins did it year by year. Like, you get to a point where these are, like, good players, and it's, I'm coming back as long as things were competitive and situation's good, to hold your owner accountable.
Every day that goes by, Oiler fans will worry. Right?
Justified.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the rest of this list.
And the Bouchard thing, too, was interesting during that, where he was like, they wanted, about how, like,
yeah,
decisive he was about them signing Bouchard during his, like,
yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah. God, great.
Bouchard's going to get his money. Like, he is.
Think he gets 10?
Yeah. Without a doubt, I think he gets 10. I think he's talented enough. The numbers support it. And
numbers sure do.
He's in a good spot. Listen, I'm not sure what he looks like away from Dreisaitl or McDavid.
He's on Anaheim. Is he, what is he?
The Islanders.
Honest question. Is he Noah Dobson's 70-point season?
Is he? Yeah. Maybe. I think it's a good situation for him. It's comfortable. His offense meshes with McDavid's and Draisaitl. It's a good scenario, and I think they're going to be okay giving him 10.5.
Yeah.
That's just the going rate for top offensive talented players.
Now, Dobson is on this list, by the way.
I do, yeah, I know. Just one thing on
Bouchard.
On Bouchard is that, like, I will stand by that I don't think he can be your number one go-to guy to get you to a Stanley Cup.
People yelled at you on Twitter for that.
But he can fit in with the mix for sure as a top three guy.
Top three.
Well, to protect the lead, I'm not sure I want him on the ice in the last 30 seconds. I don't know. Maybe it's an Ekholm type of player and somebody else, but I just don't think that's his total strength as a top shutdown and offense guy.
A hilarious slander, and I say hilarious because this was such a good player that I see people using all the time, is, he's Mike Green. Mike Green was so good. For a few years there, he was so good.
Yeah.
But I saw Noah Dobson called that
30
today.
30-goal scorer, Mike Green.
Yeah. And, yeah, he used to have that great look off to Ovi. Like, he was able to make plays.
You can't find guys like that right now.
He is a unique guy. The Leafs would kill for someone who could move the puck from the back end like those guys.
So. Okay. Dobson.
Yeah, he had another 31 guy. Goals in 68 games in 08-09.
Yeah.
Mike Green.
Yeah, he's so good.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Dobson's another guy where you got to make a decision. Like, what is he?
He's 24, 6'3", right D.
He didn't take a next step. Last year, he had a great year the year before, and he didn't step up. And that is a concern when you're also talking about a guy that could want over $10 million.
We just did this thing where there's not many guys in the league, and you work so hard to get them, and you draft them, and it takes forever to develop them, and you get them there, and you go, I want some mil more than we're comfortable with. Like, Islanders can't do that. They can't afford to let a guy like that walk out, and I know he switched agents in the offseason. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to get paid. But what are the Islanders going to get back? Picks? Picks? Could they get the sixth overall pick?
Maybe they could get two seconds like they got for Devon Taves.
Oh, why would you do that?
it's eerily similar.
Why'd you say that? I know that hurt.
I know. It's a dilemma for a lot of GMs that you go, what's a better alternative?
Yeah. I really, you know, I've tweeted a couple times today about James Hoggins, the Long Island kid, slated to go on some draft boards, 5, 6, 7. You know, earlier in the year was rumored to be a near the top pick.
Yeah.
Long Island would love to have him. Playing at the rinks at Jerry Hart's old rink in Hopog.
Good story.
You know, it's perfect. And so could they trade for that pick? Maybe Dobson's involved in that. I don't know, but I'd love to see them get.
When are they going to be ready to win?
It's tough to see it real soon, isn't it?
It is. So maybe there is a window where you can not make that commitment to Dobson and move him on and take your assets.
Problem is he's 24, right?
Yeah.
Like he is a D-man. He'd be good for 10 years. Anyway.
Morgan Riley.
Anything different? Let's see. It depends on how aggressive Bradtree Living and the Leafs want to get in terms of finding alternatives and how hard they push on Morgan to come to the conclusion that it's time to move on.
Now, in our time doing the show, they've never pushed anyone. Not once has it happened with the player.
Not to my knowledge of being really aggressive.
Yeah. Going to a guy with a trade and saying, hey, it's just not.
But I put Morgan in the same situation as Pettersson in Vancouver. It's like, okay, you've got this no move. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that we can't eventually come to the conclusion that it's just time to move on.
You'd have to have a deal roughly in the bag.
That's the way it works.
Bring it.
That Brad's out there and he's finding out who's interested in a puck-moving defenseman. And I know he hasn't had great years the last few years, but he is a legit 18, 20-minute guy. He is a minute muncher. He can skate the puck out. He could play on a power play. He's legit. He's legit. I think
7'5", he's not bad
value. You're not getting killed by it. So there'll be a number of teams very interested in taking Morgan Riley.
I'm curious, like the Leafs, the more I think of their roster, and I talked about the talent deficit, some of it to me is on the back end because now they're really big and really solid. But it's like someone with a little bit of upside on the offense. Because Riley's supposed to be that, but he hasn't been that. So I don't know. Like I see Rasmus Anderson's name is in here.
Like a guy like Aaron Ekblad?
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. Rasmus Anderson for the Calgarys. Listeners, sorry.
Yeah, and really in the same boat with Robertson and Nakesh in Colorado, where it's like, okay, what are you willing to pay on a long term deal? And if it's not there, then you got to move him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other alternative.
Yeah, and looking at Calgary, they're probably their window. I don't know when they think their window is. They're not super young, you know. So I don't know. He's just tough to get people to Calgary sometimes. I'd hate to see them lose him. Great player.
The defenseman that has me very intrigued is Nick Hague in Vegas, because he's not going to make $7 or $8 million, but he could make $5 and change.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he's trade him soon or potentially have a team offer sheet him at 4-6.
At 4-6. Yeah.
And that's a second rounder.
And keep in mind, this guy, big as he gets on the back end, won a Stanley 6'6", 240. Yeah. 6'6", 240. Yeah. And, you know, won a Stanley Cup. He's proven he can play a depth role.
Yeah. So that to me, he could get traded this week.
Oh, you think so? Yeah.
I don't know. Vegas doesn't appear that they want to pay him around $5 million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Even with maybe even the Petrangelo situation, I don't think that they're interested in getting him done on a long-term deal.
Hockey Hall of Fame?
Yeah, give us some names.
All right, the Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2025, the player category, Duncan Keith, Zdeno Chara, Alexander Mogilny, and Joe Thornton. This is really good sports talk radio. Agree.
Great picks.
Good job.
There's a couple things to say. The Alexander Mogilny one was, I think, overdue to some of us, because this is the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the NHL Hall of Fame. Yeah. There's a lot of resistance for him getting in. But, I mean, this guy, the way he came to the NHL.
On what?
Based on what do you mean based on what?
Why resistance?
Well, his NHL career left some wanting, some effort. Some people didn't think he was.
His numbers were off the charts.
But some people didn't think that he gave it all he had.
Okay.
But he gave it all he had to get here.
Him in Toronto, though, for those 2 years, I was like, that's the best hockey player that's ever lived.
30?
Yeah, he scored 30, just over 30, 33, 34 in his year here for 2 years. But, man, and then the other names, the women's player category, Sportsnet's own Jennifer Botterill.
Oh, that's great.
Brianna Decker, Jack Parker, and Danielle Savageau. So there you go. And Jack Parker he coached at Boston University from, 1975 until 2013.
There's another coach.
For me, watching, Mogilny and that, it was like watching a wizard on the ice.
He's a freak of nature.
Pavel Bure, and Sergei Fedorov.
Yeah,
those three guys in particular are the guys that I got to play against and watch.
Russian
and go,
talent, extraordinary.
Oh, my God.
Fedorov was the coolest hockey player.
How can you be that good?
For sure. I will say Keith and Chara were the defensemen of that era of hockey.
I think Keith, for me, if I had to pick of those players, if I had in their prime guy to pick, I'm picking Duncan Keith of all those guys.
He could pinch so aggressively, and if he missed, he'd be back on the other side of you by his
breathtaking
own blue line.
Skater. Yeah. Breathtaking skater.
On the outside, still looking in, Keith Tkachuk and Carey Price.
Yeah.
Carey Price didn't get in.
Surprised he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, Carey Price?
I don't know. No cups. But yeah, probably. He'll get in.
David.
Yeah, gazillion gold medals.
But I thought he would
Hart
be a
trophy
first thought. All right,
it's getting harder and harder, though. I'll tell you what, and more emphasis now on Stanley Cup playoff success too.
Yeah,
yep.
Go check out Kipper's article on Sportsnet.ca. A lot of names on here. I'll tell you about.
Thanks, pal.
Carlson, Natchez, Bowen, Byram, Byram and Paterka from Buffalo.
A lot of talk about Buffalo players in general, just wondering about, is this organization ever going to see the playoffs again?
Probably not.
Right? It's an issue on, do I need to send the message that I don't want to be here long term? And that's what JJ's going through, and maybe a few others as well.
Tough spot for the management.
Third rebuild in Buffalo?
Oof. A lot of work there. A lot of work.
Oh, and Matt Martin retired. And
he's
taking over as assistant GM for the Islanders to Matthew Darche. So there you go. 15
nice.
Years in the
nice
NHL.
Gig.
Cool. For special advisor.
In the island.
In the island. Matthew Darche is now the general manager of the New York
Island. Right. He said taking over for.
Okay. No, I said he's taking over as assistant general.
He's in summer mode already, Sammy.
What are you guys talking about?
He golfed today in 104 degree weather.
That's fine.
Okay. How do you go, Maddie?
There you go.
All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you.